The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us
soon. Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects. That's at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And joining us back on the show after a couple week hiatus, it's at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
What's going on, everybody? I got one question for you.
Do you read? You will.
And at PCN_dirt on Twitter cannot be with us tonight because he is getting prepared for C2E2 tomorrow. So his punishment is to bring back many stories for us to share on next week's episode.
And swag.
And swag. So look for that next week, next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can read our comic book reviews and listen to previous episodes of Comic Book Chronicles on theclicknation.com. Follow our Twitter account for Comic Book Chronicles at CBCron. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google+, search for The Click Nation. Subscribe to us in many different ways. Subscribe on youtube.com/TheClickNation. And we're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for The Click Nation. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. If you're tweeting about comics, go ahead and add the hashtag CBCron, and we'll make sure to see them, and your tweets may even get mentioned on the show.
Yeah.
I just realized I probably said hashtag Comic Book Chronicles earlier.
You can use that too.
Yeah, it still works.
Yeah. But if you want the shorter version, CBCron. Also, we're a part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network and the Comic Related Podcast Network. You can go to both websites, coldslitherpodcast.com and comicrelated.com. And I think that's it. Kind of went out of order than I usually do, so not sure if I forgot anything or not. I don't think I did.
It's all right. I think we got everything.
Yeah.
We will revisit.
So, of course, we're now going to get to the cinematic news, where we review what transpired within the past week in comic book TV and movie news. First up, we have Marvel and 12 Years a Slave writer John Ridley developing a new Marvel Cinematic Universe TV series, with the rumor being it's going to be Ms. Marvel.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out.
I know, right?
Because, I mean, and even that thing, the article even says so, it was like, it would be kind of strange to make a Ms. Marvel when Captain Marvel hasn't been, been put out yet. But that's not saying that they couldn't do it.
Exactly.
Or when this is even going to happen, so.
But since the cinematic universe and the comics are different, everything doesn't have to happen exactly the way it did in the comics.
Exactly.
So they can debut Ms. Marvel without a Captain Marvel having exist.
Yeah, or she does exist, but it's kind of like, well, you know, she exists, but just you don't see her or anything yet.
Yeah.
Because we know she's coming.
She's a-coming. All right. Next up, we got George Lucas thinks Marvel will do a Howard the Duck remake. Okay.
Sure.
Lucas Till is going to return as Havoc for X-Men Apocalypse. That's another sure. Dominic Cooper officially cast in preacher lead role.
What's Howard Stark doing over there?
He's being a preacher. Say no to drugs. Let's see. Some of the stuff I'm going to skip. If y'all feel inclined to want to bring it up, by all means. Let's see. Ray Park would like for Darth Maul to get a Star Wars standalone film. I'm sure he would because he'd like to work.
That's right.
And we would like. I'm pretty sure there are people out there who would love to see Darth Maul again. You know, because his time was short.
Too short.
Some would say cut in half.
Oh!
You comedian, you.
Yeah, terrible, terrible.
That's
James Earl Jones confirmed as the voice of Darth Vader for Star Wars Rebels Season 2.
Why would you not?
And I really need to watch Season 1.
Yeah, same.
It's pretty good. I mean, it ends up pretty good, I should say.
Yeah. Saw the last 5 or 10 minutes of the last episode.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Well, your article spoils it. At least as far as she shows up. So supposedly the Arrow and Flash spinoff show is going to be called Legendary, or have Legendary in the title. I'm sure that's probably just a code word they're calling it behind the scenes.
Well, it's kind of like, so...
Sorry.
So what happened was John Wesley Shipp, the original Flash, and who plays as Barry Allen's dad on the Flash now, was at a Comic-Con, and they were talking to him, and he had kind of hinted around to where, I think they said that they were torn around with titles, and it could be like Legends, something like that, but this he doesn't really know. And also, actually, he also, in that same interview, hinted that Bart Allen may come soon. Well, not soon, but may or may not come around. He doesn't really know. And they were also talking about the spinoff. I mean more about the spinoff, about who's in it and so far, which we kind of already know who that is at this point, unless they start adding other people.
All right.
Okay. Let's see.
So we're going to talk about it because Roddy already hinted at it.
What?
Well, it's highlighted on our sheet.
Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice trailer?
Yeah.
Because it's officially out, so we can talk about it.
Yeah, after being... So, funny thing about that, it got leaked, as we all know, the day before, 2 days before, something like that. And then
it got leaked that Thursday, because we were recording last week, because I was even watching it.
Right. So after that, they finally said, well, Sunday, they just went ahead and put it out, because I think they were going to put it out Monday, because I think I ended up seeing Sunday night, which, it was the same trailer, it just so happened to be without the subtitle underneath it, and less blurry, and still not that great personally. But hey, it was a trailer. It's out. It's, you know, go for it. It is curious though. I admit it has got me curious about what is going to be that movie. And then there's also the people talking about how dark it's going to be, and Superman shouldn't be this, and rabble, blah 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 blah.
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you think about it, people.
I mean, you know what's funny about this is I was just very, very underwhelmed by the whole thing. Yeah. And it's just so, it's so depressing. It's so hard for me to find the words for something that should be at least entertaining and not depressing.
Yeah. And presumably they're trying to go for Nolan's dark, you know, the tone of Nolan's movies, which, okay, don't do that.
Right.
But... I guess it is. And plus, it's only a teaser trailer, so we still don't know. There's probably more to it than just that. That could be the only scene that suggests what they're thinking, what people are thinking.
Right. But my favorite of my favorite side effect or thing that came out of this was the real trailers. What do they call themselves?
The Honest Trailers.
Yeah, the Honest Trailers guys. Redid their shtick to make it honest teasers or something like that. And when they redid this, you know, and they did their track over it, I thought that was, you know, hysterically funny. It was great.
I hadn't seen it yet.
It was great.
Yeah, it's short since it's a teaser. but definitely funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was basically instead of the voices of the like media discussing Superman, it was like fanboys going back and forth, you know, Marvel versus DC.
Yeah, no, you gotta watch it, Roddy. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
What do you think about it, Tim? Just
I'm trying to withhold judgment. Yes, it's dark and gloomy, but we know that's what DC Warner Brothers wants their universe to be.
Dark and gloomy.
I mean, that's a and it differentiates them from the competition. So yeah, give them at least a little credit for that. I'd like it not to be so dark and gloomy, but as some people said, you know, everyone was just you know, saying how much they loved how gritty Daredevil was, but then
yeah, but it wasn't that dark and gloomy, you know.
So
that's funny. All righty.
Russell Crowe wants to do wants there to be a Man of Steel prequel.
Really?
Sure.
So he can get another paycheck playing.
Yeah. Not the first time he said this, but I don't know why it can come back into news. But
we get to see War Machine in some Avengers Age of Ultron TV spots.
Ah, which is all. This is all the stuff I'm missing because I stopped watching all the TV spots.
Valid.
It's just a couple here and there.
Yeah.
And hey,
did you guys get your tickets yet?
No, not yet.
Tim?
No, I'll get them next week.
Oh, okay, I haven't gotten my tickets yet. I'm thinking about when I'm gonna catch it. I can't do Thursday like you, Tim. I can't go after work. It's impossible. I can't just fit it in.
Yeah.
Sucks
for you.
You know, it just does. It sucks. I keep thinking, am I going to stay up all night and watch it after we finish the show? You know, like get a late show and then just drive out to a theater or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Think about it. Anyway, that'll be another. Well, you know, it's next week. That's why I'm talking about it now.
Yep.
My God, I can't even put it off anymore. No more procrastinating. Gotta figure it out. And while I think of that, let's move on to our next topic.
Next topic. So, Star Wars Celebration was over the weekend.
Woohoo!
One of the many tidbits was a standalone Star Wars film called Star Wars. Well, yeah. Rogue One is the name. Was it Star Wars Rogue One? Is it Star Anthology's in the name though? It's like. Isn't it Rogue One Star Wars Anthology or something like that?
Hang on for a second. I just see Star Wars Rogue One. Oh, yeah, Star Wars Anthology, Rogue One.
Thank you.
Yep. And from what we know, we have many articles about what the story is going to be out. And all I'm going to say is Mini Bothans may have a hand in what this movie is about.
Okay.
Maybe. But outside of that, and I think there was some actually leaked, some footage floating around, which got promptly swiped away. And I don't think it's even on the Star Wars YouTube page from the panel. Yeah. So there is that. So if you happen to see that floating around, you know, go for it.
Do we want to spoil what the theme of Rogue, what the synopsis of Rogue One's about?
No, I think I let's just say the people who got my reference will catch it.
Okay. All righty then.
And I will say, by the way, what was I going to say? There was a Rebels 2 trailer also happened. Of course, the trailer for Force Awakens, which was seen like a dozen times within the last week. And some other good bits from Celebration, which they still have the whole live streams for each day up on the Star Wars YouTube. So if you missed any of that and want to catch up on some of it, go check it out there.
Yeah, I checked out a little bit of the live streams. At least the first day. Second day was too much. Like I tuned in one time, and I guess they were going to the crowd for questions. You can imagine how that was.
Oh, sometimes that's the most difficult part of being at a con or going to a panel.
Yeah.
I was watching the Ian McDermott panel, and there were a couple of really sad questions.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you get so wrinkled?
Almost to that point, but yeah, it was.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, fun times.
Marvel, of course, was there. I'm sure we'll get to that in the actual comic news of the week. But if not, I guess we can go ahead and say at least. Let's see, Lando's getting a limited series.
Yay!
Written by Charles Soule, art by Alex Maleev.
Yay!
And Greg Rucka and Marco
Cicchetto?
Cicchetto are doing the lead-in to The Force Awakens. It's like Star Wars, The Journey to the Force Awakens limited series.
Wow.
Shattered Empire.
Wow.
Long name.
You know that's going to sell. You know that's going to sell. So all they have to do is tell people that's going to lead into the new movie, and that is going to sell like hotcakes.
And there's going to be like 20 books that's going to lead into the thing. So.
Plus he also is writing a novel lead-in, I believe.
Oh, Ruck is?
Yes.
All right.
Fantastic Four revealed a new trailer.
Did anybody, any of you watch it?
Nope.
Yes, of course I watched it.
Yeah. I did not want to watch that.
I mean, as trailers go, it was what it was, you know?
Yeah, I liked it. It made me it made the movie more appealing to me, which I guess that's what its job is supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was intriguing for the most part, so... I still may not watch it in the theater, but...
Oh, come on!
You know what? I've watched one too many Fantastic Four movies and have been burned.
I'm good. Yes, yes, I saw the first one in the theaters. Ugh.
Okay. Oh, Chris Evans now wants to stick with Marvel?
Maybe. That works.
He keeps flip-flopping.
Yeah.
It's negotiations.
He's like Hugh Jackman with Wolverine.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you pay me enough.
If you guys want to lean on the powers that be to keep me on, then hey. Back up. Olivia Munn may have revealed her Psylocke costume, even though we don't know that's actually what it was. All we saw was a side shot of her hip and some spandex.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be fun to see her for like 2.5 seconds. Right.
Come on, she's a name. They're not going to... Well, we don't know that.
So, there's talk of speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoffs, so we talked about the John Ridley show, which is separate from an actual spinoff from S.H.I.E.L.D., that's supposedly in the works, and the rumor is it'll focus on Adrian Palicki and Nick Blood's characters from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey, I'm down for a Mockingbird show.
As William Bruce West said, why would they take off the two, like, at least Mockingbird's character, why would they remove, like, one of the more interesting characters from S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Give people, like, less of a reason to watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hmm. Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. will still be good regardless, but yeah. I can agree with some of that sentiment.
Yeah, people watch anyway. And of course, the Defenders, the team that's going to form on Netflix, may join Infinity War. Surprise, surprise. They got two movies to fill, so why not?
That'll be a lot of fun to see, if it ever happens, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no going the other way around, though. It's like they may be on Infinity War in the Infinity War movie, but not on S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., weirdly enough.
Correct.
That's very strange.
Even though Daredevil already has a tie.
Does?
Yeah.
What is it?
No, 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 no. I mean, I haven't finished Daredevil, so take this for what it is, but this has already been said. You will see a poster somewhere that speaks of a fight between a Marvel villain that has shown up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and to a character. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got that.
You may have seen it. Yeah. And I don't know if they actually showed. I don't think they're showing anybody. Looks at, I haven't seen the show, so they don't really go through that part.
You'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to the Gotham showrunner Bruno Heller, the Joker's origin coming early in season 2.
Is anyone still watching this? Gotham?
Yeah, I am.
I want to give it a shot because before we recorded, I saw Marvel editor Jordan White mention how, you know, once he started looking at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as like an alternate world,
mm-hmm.
then he started appreciating it more.
Yeah.
Which is probably what I need to do.
And that's how you have to look at Gotham. If not, you will be upset. Unless you're there.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is an alternate from the comics?
Well.
Or alternate from the from the movies?
Well, it's connected to the movies.
Right, but you know what I mean.
So yeah, just look at it as
a side story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. Okay. And here's some news. This next news is for you, Tim.
This is big.
Yes, Sony and Valiant planning. Well, Sony and Valiant are teaming together to bring Bloodshot, Harbinger, and Harbinger Wars movies to the big screen.
That's going to be huge for them.
Yeah.
So they signed a 5-picture deal. So it'd be 2 Bloodshot movies, 2 Harbinger movies, and that all lead up to Harbinger Wars.
The Bloodshot movie, just based on the name, will sell tickets.
Yes.
Well, that's, you know, just based on the name and even some of the imagery, you know, what the character looks like, I'm sure they can build a great trailer around the name and the character. Harbinger is another story. Just because of the name. I'm just talking about the name, the word itself. We know what it means, but it has a higher level of meaning than just a character name. You know what I mean?
Which I suspect, depending on which movie they do first, they will kind of lay that out.
Right.
So, which, speaking of Bloodshot, are they going? Well, we don't know because I mean, I guess they're going to go with classic Bloodshot as opposed to, because didn't he just change recently in the books?
Sort of? Yeah, I'm sure it'd be the original because you can't get to the current version now without starting at the beginning.
Like, I've read a little bit of Bloodshot in a couple of those books, but it's like I still don't know enough about the character to say one way or the other.
Catch up again.
Right. Yeah.
So good on them.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, at this point, what publisher doesn't have a line of movies coming up? Cinescope?
That's probably it.
Soon Archie probably will be having. Well, Archie TV show is supposed to come out, right?
There is one, I think the Sabrina one or whatever, or something. Yeah, they got stuff going on.
Okay. So Netflix orders the second season of Daredevil.
Of course.
Man, we're still on the TV news.
It's a lot of this,
I'm going to start flying through some of this stuff.
It's almost over.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Second season of Daredevil. Just a matter of when it's going to air before Defenders. Actually, it's going to come out next year, they said.
Yeah.
So, Phil Lord and... That's a nice name, Phil Lord. Christopher Miller are developing an animated Spider-Man film from Sony, which will not be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And I don't know why that's such a big deal.
Because
it's the animated universe, because it's always been on a side thing. So I don't know why people are saying
Is it going to be like that's the question, like, what is it going to be? Is it going to be like, is this supposed to be like the Ultimate Spider-Man that's on Disney XD right now, or... Are they going to just, like, try to start their own, like, animated universe? It's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen people saying, well, okay, Peter Parker should be on the live action, and Miles Morales should be animated, which I'm sitting like, I feel some kind of way about that, but sure, one way or another, we'll get one.
I won't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Just because they've been so reluctant to use anyone that's non-Peter Parker.
True.
I guess Marvel's Phase 2 films all feature the same Star Wars Easter egg.
Really? Spoil it for me. Wait, let me ring the bell.
I gotta click it.
I'll put it to you this way. Well, I mean, because we're at the end of Phase 2 right now. I can go ahead and tell you. Let's just say you can hand it to somebody.
No kidding.
That means nothing to me.
No kidding.
You know.
Now I'm going to look for it.
It's some disarming stuff.
Is it in Winter Soldier? Because I actually want to watch that again. I want to pop that in the Blu-ray player and watch that over the weekend.
I want to say yes. Okay. Because it got the, because I think, was it Feige, whoever? Yeah.
Yeah.
kind of goes along and says, yeah. Although I don't remember
seeing it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I want to watch that. That's the one I want to put in the Blu-ray player this weekend and watch it at some point.
Yeah, because all the ones that he said, I remember seeing, but I don't remember that one per se, which I'm going to do, which we're, you know, I'm sure as the week progresses, going to be a marathon session going on.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Alrighty.
Wait. Who?
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
That's funny. I read the article. I understand now.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm reading which characters this happened to. oh, that's right. Okay.
That's funny. That's a weird Easter egg.
Yeah, no, right? I was like, wait, I don't... Mm. Then I started putting it together. Well, that did happen.
Yeah. Huh. I didn't... It's not... You know what it is? It's not the biggest Easter egg in Captain America, because if you know the story of that, you know, of that particular character's recent origin, it doesn't scream that it's an Easter egg.
Right. It was a grenade, basically, what it was.
Right. Okay. So, anyway. Moving on.
Yep.
Joss Whedon is leaving the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which we knew it was going to happen at some point.
Right. I mean, it takes a lot to put together that first Avengers movie and then do a sequel and have a hand in the development of some of the other Phase 2 projects. So, you know, you can't really blame him for trying to get... I mean, maybe looking to do something different.
Yeah. And he goes on to say that in the article, well, in the video that's on there, which, you know, I respect that because it's not like... It doesn't seem like it's ever been about the money for him. He just does the projects he kind of wants to do. You know, he may do one or two to get the money to do the other projects he wants to do. And he was like, all right, he's done his bid. He can move on now.
Sure. And he can always revisit. It's not like he burned any bridges.
Oh, yeah. They'd welcome him back, I'm
you
sure.
You know, that's the best part is that, you know what, if they needed him to consult... And obviously, he's got family still dealing with Marvel Cinematic stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. He's still executive right. producers of that. So, yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Common, the rapper / actor, joins Suicide Squad in an unidentified role.
Wow, they're really trying to get the star power up on this movie.
And I saw people speculating, you know, he's black, so he's got to be playing... John Stewart, Green Lantern.
He wants that, though, which I don't know.
That's not the first thing that popped in my mind. I just figured he'd be playing some bit, you know.
Exactly. Like, why would they tuck John Stewart, Green Lantern, into this movie?
You could say, why would they tuck a bunch of people in Batman, Superman, like they're doing, so...
No, but that's different, because they're not... They're using that to set up the rush to the Justice League.
Well, yeah. Suicide
That's what they say in the Honest Trailer.
Exactly. I'm sorry I spoiled the Honest Trailer.
No, that's fair. That's fair. You know, I mean, it's not like that wasn't a known quantity. So.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, who's to say Suicide Squad's not going to be kind of tucked into that some kind of way, you know?
I guess. It's just, you know, I'd like to think that... they would save John Stewart because he's going to be... Listen, I firmly believe they're going to use a different Green Lantern. They're not going to revisit Hal Jordan right away. Mm. So, you know, I'd be happy
to see... Actually, it will be Stewart just so they can... Well, it'll be Stewart or it'll be that Jessica Cruz character that...
She's a little too new, isn't she?
Yeah, but why even introduce her in the first place?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Some people think that she was created just... You know,
that's stretching. I mean, yeah, that's not outside the realm of possibilities, but
well, I mean, it kind of because the Justice League so far would be nothing but dudes except for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Plus, he just created a Green Lantern in Simon Baz that's now going unused.
Yeah. So I was about to say
he just created Simon Baz and then created sort of like another. Another non-white male Green Lantern character.
Yeah, well, I was about to say they did have that Hawk Woman, but then again, I think that's not for that. So never mind. I don't know. We don't know what all that is.
Alrighty.
Okay. So that's the news or the cinematic news. every comic book company gave put out their July 2015 solicits. Check those out. Let's see. Archie versus Sharknado announced for July.
What? What?
I'm not sure is that from.
Is that real?
That's real.
Oh.
I mean, come on. They had Archie with Kiss. They have Archie with Predator now. They have done this type of stuff before. This is not, you know, well, not a surprise.
You know what? I remember. Wait, didn't we? Weren't we doing a show when Sharknado was on TV?
Yeah, we did.
And you guys were watching it in the background and watching your Twitter feeds blow up because Sharknado was on. We basically were live covering the show. And yeah. I can't believe we've gotten to this point where it's crossing over into our comic book world. That's pretty funny.
It's a cultural touch point.
Capitalize while you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn you, Ian Ziering. Damn you.
They're working on a 3. So.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Let's see what else we got here.
Hold on, back up a second. Steve Wozniak and Stan Lee are trying to get put together a Comic-Con in Silicon Valley.
Wow, good for them.
What the what?
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing's wrong with it. Oh. That is the most geekiest thing you could ever
put it in the middle of all the computer people, yeah.
Yeah, and we all know, you know, Woz is one of the biggest geeks there is, so hey, I'm on board.
I'm surprised there isn't already a con that's in there. Exactly. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, honestly, geographically speaking, what the closest con to that area is. You know, like the.
Well, I mean, technically, it's in California, so you got like 2 or 3 or 4 going on. You know,
right. But in terms of like the actual distance, I can't say. You know, I didn't look into this, but it's nice that, you know, if they think that they're underserved or that they need a con for that particular area, by all means, go for it.
I think this is just serving Woz. And Stan Lee, which is all right. I am okay with that.
That is fine.
Huh. See what that's going to be.
Okay.
Talked about Greg Rucka and Star Wars.
Well, we'll get to this X-Men news.
Mm-hmm. Bob's Burgers to become an ongoing series from Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Which X-Men news? The Days of Future Past.
No, the all new.
Oh, yeah, that's next.
Yeah, we'll deal with that. We'll get to the
points. Okay, so we can skip that.
Yeah. We can even skip the other one.
Skip that.
Because we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about the books anyway.
Yeah.
Only we're not going to talk about G.I. Joe.
Yes, I wanted to see what the hell that
okay.
is.
Yeah, because no.
What is
spoilers?
Spoiler, I got to ring the bell. Okay, I rang the bell. What the hell happened in G.I. Joe 213 that needs to be spoiled?
A beloved character supposedly dies, but comes back in another way.
No! Okay, yes. Hold on.
Rest in peace. Or not.
Yeah, or not. Which I haven't been keeping up with that book, so I don't know. This spoiled that for me because I wanted to go back and I had plans to go back and kind of catch up on that book. So I don't know what led to this.
So yeah, so did we say, we didn't say who it is that died, right?
No, we didn't.
That's lame.
So just like with a certain Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, which the issue after that Turtles issue hasn't come out, has it?
Mm.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Okay. I know Eclectic is happy about this.
He's a Joe news. Blank hater.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He's like one of the best characters. Well, never mind. I do know. Shout out to Eclectic.
You know. Alrighty.
But yeah, moving on.
Oni Press releases their open submission guidelines.
For all you creators out there.
Yeah, they've been kind of all over the place on this one. Like, there was a Twitch stream they were talking about it, of all places.
A what?
A Twitch stream. You know, you're streaming your video, playing video games.
Oh, people on Twitch were talking about it?
Yeah, I think one of the editors was, like, streaming, and like, Chris Sabella was like, hey, if you want to go ask so-and-so about, you know, the open submission, go see him play video games badly. Can't remember who it was.
Cool. So, hopefully I'll be utilizing this. I like that there's like, you know, timelines, but it's like opens and closes and opens again and closes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some companies just do it like once a year and it's like, here's your time.
Yeah, make it do what it do.
Yeah, so definitely like that. And the 2015 Eisner Award nominees were announced. Lots of great comics on that list. I should print the list up on the website. That would be something pertinent to do.
Yeah, some of the usual suspects at this point, but still, but they are the usual suspects for good reason, you know. And by the way, and while we're at it, Comixology has a sale on said nominations.
Yes.
As they do.
That's cool.
And
hey, we have a wild dirt appears.
Hey, what's going on? Oh!
What's going on, sir?
Hey.
Just taking a break from getting everything packed and getting all my laundry done and all that kind of good stuff. Just thought I'd drop in and hang out for a little bit.
Good do you want to tell people what you have planned for C2E2?
Well, I'm going.
y'all set a table up and all that good stuff?
No. We're not doing that. We have press passes. So we're going to go in and we're going to do some interviews. We're going to walk around the show floor, get some video, cover, you know, some of the cosplay contest kind of stuff. And right now I'm scheduled to talk to Dave Dorman, guy who did a whole bunch of Star Wars covers, does a lot of Star Wars artwork. Mike Miller, who does covers for the Game of Thrones comic and draws Injustice, the digital comic based off the video game. We're going to talk to Franco from All Yeah Comics, who does a lot of the, what was that? Superman Family Adventures and Tiny Titans, and he does the Itty Bitty Hellboy and all that kind of stuff with Dark Horse. Going to talk with actually the president of Aspen Comics. I'm going to be sitting down with him, and they just recently worked out a deal with a company called Big Dog Inc., that publishes books, mainly Critter, and a book, Scheherazade. And they've worked out some sort of deal, some sort of joining. I'm not sure exactly the details, but I'm going to sit down with the guy from Big Dog and the president of Aspen, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in their company. So got some interesting stuff going on this weekend while I'm up there. I'm looking forward to it.
And you can find all the information post C2E2 on popculturenetwork.com.
That's right.
Woo-hoo.
So anything exciting happened this week? Did I miss anything?
Nothing.
Nah, we're just now getting to the conflict news.
Yeah, we kind of picked apart, not scene by scene. We just sort of had, kind of vented over the Batman Superman trailer. You have any thoughts?
Meh.
Says it all.
Did you see the Fantastic Four trailer?
I did. That looked actually a little more interesting. And it looks like it's more in the vein of the Ultimate Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that stood out to me about it. So I'm a little more intrigued by it. But you know, I spoke maybe about a month or so ago about how I wasn't feeling all that excited about Age of Ultron.
Right.
That it looked like it was going to be a big blow up movie, but you know, not a lot of meat to it. And I kind of feel the same way about Superman, Batman, or Batman, Superman, or whatever. However it goes, they're both just kind of hitting me as like these big
set pieces.
People fight, things explode. You know, you get your $7 worth or $10 worth sitting in the theater watching it, but I just don't feel like they're gonna be the big character driven pieces that people are looking for.
Yeah.
Not like Star Wars.
Woo! Yeah.
I watched that trailer again last night.
And this is big for dirt.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's not a trek, but I'm still excited.
That's funny. That is funny. All righty. We're still in the comics news.
DC and partners, whoever the partners are going to launch the DC Superhero Girls Universe for girls.
Okay. Good.
And I guess, hey, while we're on that vein, go ahead and hit the next two real quick, or the next one real quick.
You can hit them if that's what you want.
Yeah, sure. Hot Topics offers a line of Avengers apparel from Her Universe. So Her Universe is Ashley Eckstein's brand, who is, if you know, the voice of Ahsoka Tano, Tano on Clone Wars and now Rebels. She has a clothing line that is Star Wars based, but she also has now a line of, well, her brand has now a line of Avengers stuff going on that. So have at that, because you know how we are about clothes around here.
All right.
And was the other one you wanted?
Oh, actually, that one I'm not. Well, Wizard World enters the monthly box service with Comic-Con box, and I totally forgot that I had a box coming from Collector's Core, which I don't think has made it in, but maybe next week, or there will be a video out there about that. So they're just going to be another, hey, you pay us some money, we'll give you a box of stuff every month type of deal.
That's about it for comic news. Anything in the variant corner you want to touch upon?
Nah. Go look at it. If you check out my link,
we'll tweet it out for you.
Yeah. Then there's a link under my my tag under there, so you can go check out the show notes for that stuff.
All right. And time for my ad read. This week it's from Busted Tees. This episode of the Comic Book Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as Central City Running Club, The Flash, Carbonite Jones, Indiana Jones Frozen in Carbonite like Han Solo, All About That Echo Base, No Rebels, Star Wars, Queen of Hearts, Harley Quinn, Underwood for President, House of Cards, and much more are on sale. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to codeslitherpodcast.com. That's codeslitherpodcast.com, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through codeslitherpodcast.com. Do it today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tim, do you have your camera off, or is it just not working for me?
It's off.
Okay, just want to make sure.
I have a headache, so I ain't feel like y'all seeing me like leaning back, trying to talk with my eyes closed. So, yes.
Fair enough.
So, should we get to All New X-Men number 40 first?
Did you read that, Dirt?
No.
Okay.
I read about it.
I know. I was complaining about that.
We were complaining about being spoiled on Tuesday morning, especially because we both had made plans to read it that Tuesday anyway.
Yeah.
Especially since I had loaded it on my iPad Monday night, and I was like, eh, it's too late. I'll just read it tomorrow. Nope.
Yeah, but you had the ability to read it like 2 weeks ago.
I know. Same here. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that we want to. Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks ago, I'm trying to read the stuff for that week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though I did see some stuff you put up this week that I was like, ooh. And that's for like 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. But so this issue is the All New X-Men's post the Black Vortex issue, where things are a lot quieter. People are sort of
home.
Yeah, they're back on Earth. They're sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not sure what word I'm looking for.
They're recovering and kind of finding their new place in the world, you know, post their experience in space and post exposure to the Black Vortex.
Repercussions is what I was looking for.
Yes. Definitely, there are definite repercussions in this, and this is a very difficult book to read if this is your very first all-new X-Men issue. It's a very difficult book to read if you have not been following along with Black Vortex, because there's just a couple things in here that make very little sense because of Black Vortex.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's like, what happened to Angel? What? You know, that was pretty much what happened to me, because I skipped out on a couple issues of Black Vortex. I was kind of taken aback at what I was looking at.
Well, I'm mad that they released preview images for this issue, and one of the preview images showed Angel as the cosmically...
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Angel.
Yeah.
So I was like, well then.
Exactly.
So basically read Guardians of the Galaxy, X-Men, Black Vortex, or Omega first before reading this issue.
Yeah, in some sort of order.
Yeah. Which I guess kind of spoils something else.
Yep.
So The big thing about this issue is everyone's talking about one of the original X-Men came out as gay.
There you go.
Well,
so I guess it's hard to discuss
really,
this.
He didn't really come out. Version. Somebody read his mind and spilled the beans.
Yeah, that was kind of lame.
A little speculation about that. Some people said, some people didn't have a problem with what Gene did. Some people did, of course.
Well, it's an ongoing, you know what it is? It's an ongoing aspect of this version of the character in that she still hasn't quite gotten, whatchamacallit? She doesn't necessarily have the ability to respect people's privacy at this point.
Yeah, of course, I talked about it on my review on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com. Yeah, Jean has been annoying me for the longest now, just how she's reading everyone's mind and not respecting privacy. And yes, I understand, you know, her powers are kind of out of control and she can't really control them. So, and plus, everyone just like, everyone gets mad initially, then it's like, well, she's our friend, so can't really get too mad at her. But, man.
All right. You know what's funny about this, though? You know, coming from the perspective of a long-time X-Men fan, and Tim, you can join me on this one. Roddy, you know, maybe a little on this side also. You know, it's funny, like, when you see what, you know, who they have come out, and you're like, oh, you know what? This sort of does make sense based on, you know, this character's history and, like, maybe some difficulties with the opposite sex, and I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, you know, that's a little bit of a big retcon, but obviously there have been pieces in play in various storylines that they can use to create this retcon, so it's not as drastic as it really sounds.
Right.
You know, well, I almost wonder they did the whole thing where they tried to send them back to their time period, and the universe said no. And, you know, made him stuck there. And I almost wonder if that's not some sort of symbol that these are not actually the X-Men from the past of this timeline, that they are actually from a different timeline.
Right.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah, because there's been some speculation. Well, I've been wondering about how the stuff's kind of is going to reset anyway. Well, one, there's... Like, I had a Twitter conversation with somebody earlier this week about that, and it was like, well, they're postulated that nothing's going to really reset. Like, nothing's going to become set until they go back to their original time, which means that, you know, whatever they're doing here right now may or may not affect the current, you know, the current adult X-Men.
But I think they also didn't they kind of hint, you know, and I guess we'll throw in all the Black Vortex books now, because... Yeah. In the Black Vortex Omega book, didn't they touch on a change in the Iceman character, the 616 Iceman, like the current Iceman character, and hint at a possible change in that character as well, to try to put the two of them on the same page?
Yeah,
did you guys see that or read into that?
All I saw was an article. There was an article that just kind of goes back through different times, you know, different speculation points. Well, it's different points of different...
storylines,
storylines that kind of that may or may not have touched on this being something that was already there. Although the only thing I remember is him dating the girl in
the Asian chick,
in X Factor. So
the only problem with that excuse is you could say that about a bunch of Marvel characters.
Oh, that they have relationships. Yeah, that they have problems with the getting chicks.
Yeah.
Or keeping them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody except for Reed and Sue, which don't get me started on that one.
So there was that. There was also some moments between Angel and
X-23
that I'm sure people will overlook just because of the big reveal. And my question is, I only recognize like one of the members of the Utopians.
Hold on. Spoiler alert, Bell. While I flip to the last page and see who I recognize. Well, you recognize Random, don't you?
That's the only person I recognized.
Okay. And that's Karma. Isn't that Karma?
Hold on. Let me bring it open. Is she the one with the leg?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not looking for... Okay, I'll do this one.
So just out of curiosity, did anything else actually happen in this book outside of it being a aftermath and the big reveal?
Nah, it's setting up the Utopian storyline. Because, just real quick, it seems like some mutants have taken refuge on the remains of Utopia.
When did Karma lose a leg?
I'm not 100% sure. But hey, that power effect, that halo effect, I think, is the indicator that that's her.
Yeah, I don't know who the girl is with the... That's not Boom Boom, is it?
I think it is. The short skirt gives it away, right?
More like the sunglasses.
For those of us who are uninitiated, who are the Utopians?
We don't know. We're assuming they're taking the name Utopians because they're taking refuge on the...
On Utopia, right.
On Utopia, the piece of rock off the coast of San Francisco that X-Men used to call home as of like 5 years ago.
Yeah, the remains of Utopia.
I thought it sank.
I guess not all of it.
Yeah, there's evidence of it being above water. So
I love how these people are supposed to be like taking refuge on this this piece of rock, and you basically they're not scavengers, but basically living on the land, but yet they all have matching costumes.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So that's basically the issue.
Well, it's because they're right outside San Francisco. There's somebody who has to make sure everybody's dressed nice and they all accessorize correctly. I don't know. Can I make that joke with this issue? Or is it too soon?
What's that?
I said, can I make that joke with this issue, or is that too soon?
It's like, not too soon.
I was about to say, I guess the emails we'll see then.
Yes. The opinions expressed by PC_Turd do not reflect everyone's opinions.
If you do have something to say, send the email to... Actually, comicbookchronicles@gmail.com does work, so...
There you go.
That's funny.
Need to actually check it.
That's funny. Alrighty. So I guess that covers a portion of the Black Vortex books. You want to just do the rest of the Black Vortex aftermath, so we can just finish talking about this?
Yeah, I guess there is the actual Black Vortex, and then Guardians of the Galaxy. You want to knock those out, as they say.
Yeah. So in the Black Vortex, let me see if I can pull this insanity up. So we finally get a little bit of closure. We find out who actually retains some of their spoiler alert. Who retains some of their abilities post exposure to the Black Vortex? Apparently, not all of them decide to give back their powers. Their enhanced cosmic powers. And we have so how did this resolve? I don't even remember. Isn't that funny? Like, I don't even remember how this was all resolved with, like, the big bad.
That doesn't sound like a good sign.
It's not. Yeah. It's not. This is not a good story.
Kitty got cosmic powers, and she phased the planet through the...
Thane.
The carbonite that the planet protects was encased in.
Yeah, like Thane, right?
Yes.
Put that over the entire planet. His power to put everybody in, like, this amber stuff. So basically, Kitty Pryde gets exposed to the Black Vortex, and she becomes like this cosmic powered phaser. So she phases the amber off of the planet, and it's just so lame. And basically, the entire planet of Spartax is released from their entrapment in the amber. And and that's the resolution of the story. So lame.
Is this Jurassic Planet?
Oh, God. It might be.
Does Kitty keep her
I
her
thought power? So.
Okay, because that would explain... So.
Yes, Kitty...
She does keep it, right?
It's weird. Like, so a couple of characters remain cosmic. Basically, everyone that used the Black Vortex, whether you decide to stay how you are or revert back, you still going to be affected somehow.
Okay, because that explains something I saw in Guardians of the Galaxy 26.
But you said Kitty gave her power back, but she would still so there's something inside of her that they can, of course, tease later on.
Did she give it back? I didn't think she did.
I thought she did because she was originally like big and blue and whatever earlier in the issue, and then she looked human after the fact.
No, but then there's. But then there's the whatchamacallit. They show her as the cosmically powered
Kitty Pryde after the other members of the X-Men and the Guardians have kind of been depowered. So she's still blue. I don't think she gave it back.
Well, that says a lot.
You know?
She was human-looking in Guardians.
Right.
Which is her hair looked fiery for some reason.
Right.
And right, then, and she has the power. That's the point. Like, she can look normal, but she can have the power. So this gives her the ability to hang with the Guardians in space.
Oh, okay. And then sure. There's also, like, Groot remained cosmically enhanced.
And Gamora. And then
there was a scene in the Omega issue.
Groot gives it back, but he looks different.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, Groot gives it back, but he looks very, very different.
Groot, Cyclops, and Beast gave it
back. And Iceman.
Yeah, Iceman all of a sudden looks like the original Iceman.
Right.
Which,
what, you mean like Snowflake?
No, not. I'm sorry, the second iteration of Iceman. The
yeah, like solid ice, yeah.
Instead of patches, you know, shards of ice. Mm. But I thought, like, one scene showed Groot, like, speaking as a normal person, and then all of a sudden he's back to I Am Groot, which confused me. Mm-hmm. So this whole review of this issue sounds convoluted.
Mm.
So 5 stars.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I take back something I mentioned earlier about the adult Iceman. I misread a couple of panels in this book, so I take that back. Because what they were talking about, the Black Vortex effects on the character, they're actually talking about another character, not Iceman. So I apologize.
And then at the end, there was another big reveal. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Wait, I ring the bell.
I'm waiting for you.
There you go.
Peter Quill proposes to Kitty Pryde.
Yay.
And she said yes.
Seriously, that's what I felt when I read that. I was like, oh, are you serious?
Seems you didn't see it coming?
I did.
Kind of quick, but...
Exactly. It seemed like it was kind of quick. I mean you know, we grew up
with like Mary Jane and
Peter Parker, you know what I mean? So
it's not like she's going to get married, or they're going to get married.
Or if they do, it'll stick.
Yeah.
So... I actually didn't see it coming.
I didn't think it was coming this soon. Tim said it seemed like it was very quick.
But happy for them, yada, yada, yada.
Such a softy, Tim.
And it continued over into Guardians of the Galaxy 26, where we remember, hey, Peter Quill is supposed to be the president of Spartax.
That he ran away from, yeah.
Remember that planet that got put in carbonite or whatever?
Right, we're back.
Yeah. So I actually enjoyed this issue because this is the last comic I read before we start recording. It was fun. It was another, you know, issue where, you know, repercussions of the Black Vortex, and so we're picking back up with, you know, Peter shirking. I think that's a word for dodging.
Yeah, shirking.
Shirking his responsibilities. I like how Bendis wrote this. There was a lot of humor, which of course was also displayed through the art by Valerio Schiti.
Shitty wall.
I like the.
I'm sorry.
I like the two members of the Spartax, I guess, like political group council.
Goddamn Mongolians!
They were funny. They had their sales pitch going.
Yeah. And speaking of walls, I think that was Bendis on the wall, right?
I'm looking now. I saw that note, and I'm looking. Now I'm looking. Why you?
I mean, granted, I mean, like, you could say, yeah, that's just a bald-headed dude, but it just seems like that was.
Let me go look.
Yeah, now I'm looking.
So I read this. I read this not having read Black Vortex, so, and it kind of gives you the sense of what, not necessarily what happened, but what ended up being the case. You know, I wouldn't say go into this if you have not read it at all, but you know. By osmosis, kind of at least knew part of what was going on, but it just like Tim said, yeah, this was a pretty good read. It was quite fun, and I don't know. I was gonna skip this book because I figured it was gonna be heavily tied into Black Vortex, mm-hmm. but it wasn't so much outside of saying, hey, this happened, and you know, people are still some kind of way.
Yeah, I see the head on the wall
and the X-wings that showed up.
So there's an X-wing in this too.
No, there were some ships that...
I see it.
That are X-Wing-like.
Yeah.
I'm asking the pictures on the wall, is that when they're back on Spartax?
Yeah.
When they're talking in that one room.
Yep.
Okay, I'm getting there. But continue.
Because it shows up a couple of times.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. But they don't actually show whatchamacallit, Kitty Pryde using her new powers in this. So I'm not sure when this.
Well, the only thing you see is like the first page, or yeah, the first page you see her in Peter's lap, and her hair is kind of look like it's flaming.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta look at this.
And they're in the bar.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it's like her hair is like flames.
But after that, you really don't, you know, any.
Oh yeah, you're right. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. That's odd. I think that might be just a quirk of the coloring in the art itself.
I don't know.
You know.
So that's what made me wonder about. I was like, okay, what happened to her in Black Vortex? And then I found out what actually happened.
It's all new, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not all new, but the actual or Omega.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, I'm glad Black Vortex is over. I am.
I mean, they don't have much to do before Secret Wars ends everything.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it didn't really end all that great from what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, it was pretty unmemorable.
So, let's put that one for the most disappointing at the end of the year, then.
Yeah, it's gonna definitely a candidate. Dirt.
What?
Did you read Black Widow number 17?
I did.
Please tell me what was supposed to be happening in this. Because
I'm trying to remember, because I read it like 2 weeks ago.
I was very, very lost and very, you know, confused at what was going on in this.
All right, so at the end of last issue with Winter Soldier and whatnot, Nat ended up going with the Prophet dude that she's in with this episode with, or this issue with, because he was propositioning her to join whatever...
Chaos,
yes. Whatever group that they have going on. And in this issue, we see her not listening to the pitch and getting some potential flash forward of a future for her and a certain Mr. Murdoch.
Oh, right. Now I remember this. Okay.
Yeah. That may or may not happen if she joins up with this group, and as happens, that's not happening in any of it.
Right.
So you just pretty much see them talking.
Right, she basically rejects their offer, right?
Yeah, and then them. Well, it's not so much of a fight, but yeah. And I don't know who that person's supposed to be, because it's like, okay, there's never really been any too many powered people in this book. Well, there have been some showing up a little bit, but not to this extent.
Right. It seemed very out of place for this book, and that's why I was so confused. And I'm glad I didn't look at what you had read this week, Roddy, so I apologize for throwing that straight to Dirt. But I know that Dirt and I have been the consistent Widow readers here now, recently.
Oh, yeah. So, I've been on this book since the beginning.
So, I needed some help.
I remember the superpower guy, I think the first time we really get a notion of him is when they're a bunch of the higher-ups are escaping from the cruise ship that she's infiltrated.
Right.
And they're talking to someone on the helicopter, but you don't really see who it is, who they're talking to.
Right.
And then after she brings the helicopter down, then he emerges. He's obviously more powerful. He's survived. And what I took away from this issue is that I don't know that he actually believes what he's telling her, but he has this ability to... I don't know if you want to call it like a hypnotic suggestion or whatever, but he's implanting these, you know, false flash forwards, I guess you could say, to use the term from Lost, to give her an idea of, you know, you help us, this is what we can guide the future to. This is what we can make happen, because this is what we do, is we're shaping and molding, you know, the time and space and civilization to go towards a certain outcome, and this is what we can do for you. You help us with what we're trying to accomplish, and this is the life that we can promise you. And whether or not he could actually accomplish that or not, I don't know that it's really clear, but she obviously doesn't believe them, or she doesn't believe that it's worth selling out to them in order to achieve that life, even though that's the life she would like to have.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So, then we agree.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it was a good read, but it was rather confusing on certain
points. I mean, that's what tempered my my review of this, because I found myself just questioning what was going on. So, you know, I really can't give it the best review because, you know, for someone who has been reading this pretty consistently, I got lost.
So. I kind of wish they had used a different art style when he's giving her these visions, just to help kind of clarify that this is – not real, and this is not, you know, this is not something that she's really experiencing or anything. This is a vision of the future. That would just, I think, kind of help for the readers to just kind of clarify a little bit that this is something else. This is not really reality. This is not really, because, you know, I was kind of the same way at first. I didn't understand if this was a memory of something that happened in the past.
Right.
You know, that she's going to relive, or they're going to be able to rekindle this relationship, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, by the time I got to the end, I thought it was pretty clear, but it just didn't seem all that clear at the beginning.
Exactly. Right. The beginning of the book is like, okay, when did this happen, or when is this going to happen? And it's like, okay, I must have missed something, and, you know, turns out not to be the case.
So I still overall enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's not anywhere near my favorite of the run.
Yeah, I'm in that boat. That's definitely how I feel about this one. All right. What else did everybody read?
Did everybody read Star Trek? Or Star Trek. Did anybody read the one about the war in the stars?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yep.
All right, so we'll talk about that.
Welcome to Luke's Pity Party.
This was the talky-talky issue.
Yeah, it's definitely a talky-talky issue.
I didn't mind that, though.
Yeah.
We do not. We not fans of talky-talky?
Oh, no.
No, but no, it's no, a talky talky. Yeah, great. It's definitely a nice setup issue, I think.
It had to set everyone up on their next story arcs.
Right.
Luke goes off to find himself.
Yeah, Leia's having trouble with the girl, wants to push for more incursions. And the council's like, no, I don't know if we can do that.
We're kind of stretched thin here. Yeah. That's pretty much their attitude.
Yeah. And then I think what for me was probably ended up being the best part of the book is Vader and Jabba on Tatooine talking and their whole interaction. So, which actually will end up with one of the characters coming being interacted with at some point. But overall, it was good. I mean, you saw things happen, even though it was just talking. So they're going to go somewhere.
I'm going to miss Cassidy's art.
Me too. I enjoyed it on here.
You know, well, I've still got two issues. So
yeah, there's a couple of really, you know, great, you know, depictions of these characters in here that, you know, you can tell weren't exactly pulled from photo reference. And they were just, you know, they just look really good.
I think the one thing that bothered me a little bit in this issue is the fact that they are doing the Princess Leia series, they are doing the Darth Vader series, and they do at least give an offhanded mention in those series about stuff that happened early on in this series.
Right.
So you know that they're connected, but at this point I'm not exactly sure when those things are happening compared to this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, does that happen a week later? Does this happen in between two panels of this issue? You know, it's like, where exactly do these things fall in the timeline? Because especially Vader, with what he's doing in his series...
Falls right into this, yeah.
Yeah, there's a way that it could kind of change the meaning of his negotiations with Jabba and whether or not he's really there on behalf of the Emperor, or if he's there trying to win back the favor of the Emperor, or if he's there, you know, actually gunning for his own means.
Right, Jabba references that, so...
Yeah.
I think the Vader book is in between this book, actually. It's like pretty much before this book, because if you remember back in the beginning of the issues, Darth Vader was supposed to go to this meeting, you know,
right.
But he left out earlier, right. So he threw his dirt in his book, and now he's here in this, now he's here for this.
Right, but at this point, does he already have that droid army that he's making with Dr. Aphra? Is she standing there in the factory churning this stuff out, and he's doing other business? You know, does he meet Dr. Aphra after this issue? It's just, you know, one of those continuity-type things. I just want to know. And Leia is supposed to be gallivanting saving her people wherever they happen to be,
right.
But here she is slamming her fist down, saying there needs to be more attacks and incursions, so it doesn't exactly jive with what's happening in her series. So is that before, is that after, you know? Just kind of one of those things where I just wish I knew a little bit better how all these pieces were fitting together.
And then Marvel will tell you, don't worry so much about continuity.
No, I must know. It's my life's
just enjoy the story. Story comes first.
impossible.
And I feel like probably at least one or two of these books are going to converge. Probably right. Specifically well, the Vader book is probably going to converge and come back to it.
Leia is also a miniseries.
Exactly.
So only 5 issues and then it's over. So they may very well at some point, you know, have her walk out of the room and to see what happens with Leia.
Right.
Read the Leia miniseries, 1-5.
Yeah. And say, hey, you're back from your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome back.
Where have you been?
Exactly.
You're back from your thing.
That sounds like a very Star Wars piece of dialogue.
I'm writing
very Star Wars like language right there.
Yeah.
All right. Any DC Convergence books this week?
Yeah, I read a couple. Dirt, did you read Convergence number
4?
Is three. It 4 or 3? 3.
It's 3.
Right, so somebody gets blowed up. That's pretty much what I remember from this issue.
I don't know if you guys talked about this in the news or not, but did you see that the solicitation for the Earth 2 Society comic book may actually spoil the ending of Convergence?
Really?
A solicit spoil something?
Yeah, I know. Crazy, thought. Right? But here, give us a quick ding of the spoiler.
Oh, bit. Spoiler.
According to the Earth 2 Society solicit, it's the Earth 2 heroes that are in Convergence are the ones who survive at the end of the series and get their own planet.
Wow.
So there you go.
I mean, that's kind of a given, though, right?
Well, but it was one of those things where they've been pushing that this series is all these different characters from different timelines, and you don't know who's going to survive and who's going to make it to the other side, and you know, we could have a new DC universe, you know, coming out the other end where you've got Silver Age Flash and Golden Age Green Lantern on a team, and you know, all these different possibilities of what they can do with the characters. And it looks like none of that is actually going to happen. None of that was even a possibility. It's basically just a continuation of World's End and leads into their next series.
Right. So basically, are we going to have – hold on. Spoiler. Because this thought ran across my mind. It does sound very spoilery. So basically, is the DC universe just going to go back to where it was, but there's going to be an alternate – one alternate Earth? And that's going to be the Earth 2 Earth?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
Woo, so that's fun.
Is Convergence...
Exactly, I'm just like, oh, okay.
So Convergence, is that like a battle world type thing where everyone's on this one planet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and then so when it's done, Earth 2 people will stay on that planet.
Or
stay on Earth. They're on Earth, right?
No. No, they're on a battle world. They're on a battle world that's composed of infinite Gotham cities. That's what it sounds like, right? Right, Dirt?
Right. Well, the planet is Telos, however you pronounce that, which is he manifests himself looking like that Brainiac type character, but that is the manifestation of the planet. The planet is a living being. It's sentient, so it's the one. It's trying to do what it thinks Brainiac wants, but it's, you know, confused. It's every time you give the computer AI, the computer says, "Oh, the only way to solve everything is to kill everyone," right. And that's basically what it's going through. So, you know, I mean, there have been some nice character moments from time to time, especially with Batman, which, you know,
spoiler alert.
Hit the spoiler bell. Hit the spoiler bell. Who doesn't? Doesn't apparently survive this issue.
You get blowed up! That's what I said!
So, I don't know. At this point, it's a story that's better told in this book than it is in any of the satellite books so far. Yeah. But my enthusiasm has gone from like an 8.5 to like a 6. Maybe even close to a 5, because I don't care about the Earth 2 heroes. And that's all we're seeing over and over and over and over again, and it looks like that's going to be the point of this entire series.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
Question. I'm glad this reminded me of something that came up earlier today, and Dirt is here, who I want to ask about it anyway. So on Bleeding Cool, there was a retailer had written into them saying how all the Convergence books aren't selling at all compared to their DC counterparts and how they're losing money and whatnot. What's the word from your store?
Yeah, that's pretty fair. It's definitely less than there's a fair amount of people who, because it's a big event, you know, they're going to buy them because of the event stuff. And there are groups of people who, you know, they're in their late 30s, early 40s, even late 40s, that they go, oh, I remember this version of Legion of Superheroes. And so they, you know, they want that particular book. But generally speaking, the people who have been buying Batman for the last 2 years, they don't care about Batman and the Outsiders. You know, they're not like, they're just going, no, I'm just going to wait and see what happens, you know, coming out the other end and, you know, buy books then. So for a lot of people, they are taking the time off, but it's not a huge dip. I mean, maybe if we were the type of store that was selling 500 copies of Action Comics every month, it might make a difference. But, you know, I'd say depending on the title, it could be anywhere 60 to 80% of what it had been doing, which a 60% is still a significant drop. Yeah. The bigger problem is the books that really have no
connection.
Yeah, well, they have no analog in the regular New 52. So books like Adam, books like The Question,
right.
People just don't care. The Justice League book is actually doing fine. All of the Justice League books have done fine. Those have actually sold maybe even a little bit better. But the Batman books just aren't doing the same. The Superman books just kind of hit people who are fans of those particular periods. They did a whole book on Steel. No one cares about Steel, you know.
Hey.
but, you know, the one thing that really, and this is kind of the sad state of paper comics, is the one thing that really saves it from being almost a total disaster is the fact that they are doing variant covers, and the variant covers were free to order for retailers. So I could order, if I wanted to order all the variants and none of the regulars, I could have. You know, it was just open ordering on the variants. And so, you know, we ordered a mix of both the regular and the variants. And so that actually, people actually do go, oh, I like this one, I'm going to buy it and the variant, just because they want to have that collectible copy with the alternate cover.
Right.
And that's, you know, that we see that happen all the time with companies like Avatar and Zenoscope and, you know, places that their bread and butter is doing multiple covers on every book. For DC, for these books not being as big as sellers, putting that variant cover does help a little bit to offset the terrible sales on some of them. But, you know, again, those books that just have no other connection just don't sell. Here, let me actually flip to some of these books real quick. Like Hawkman, that one's not doing well at all, even though it's, I think it's Tim Truman drawing that one, which I would think would do a little bit better. But like Flash, people who read Flash aren't reading this Flash because it's not their Flash.
Mm. Who is it?
It's Wally West, right?
Well, this is the old Barry Allen. This is the pre-Crisis Barry Allen.
There is a Wally West book, though.
Yeah, the Wally West one was last
week. Speed Force? Was that Speed Force one, I guess?
I think so.
Yeah, with him and his kids. Yeah, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, on that one. You know, the only book this week that really felt like it had some weight to it was the Adventures of Superman book.
Really?
And that one, the reason why is that this is Superman and Supergirl pulled from their pre-Crisis era. Mm-hmm. And as part of Convergence and part of the world that they're on, somehow Supergirl is given a glimpse of what her future is. And her future is, of course, dying in the Crisis.
Right.
And so now she knows that information. So the question is, does she fight to save the status quo, and the status quo is her going back to her timeline and dying in Crisis, or does she give up and let everybody die, and so the world will just kind of waft away and she doesn't have to go through it?
Hmm.
And so that adds at least a little bit of weight to the story.
Gotcha.
And it's the only one, really, I felt this week that had, you know, any sort of strong storytelling outside. Because
of nostalgia.
Yeah, everything else is really the same of what we've seen the past 3 weeks or 2 weeks. I guess this is the third week. Everything else just has that feeling where 90% of the issue is just set up, and then you get to that last page where it's like, okay, the rumble's about to begin,
right.
And then it ends going.
I agree with you. The one Convergence book that I read outside of the limited series was the new Teen Titans one, because I'm such a new Teen Titans fanboy, and Marv Wolfman was writing it, so I could at least count on positive characterization from, you know, the character from the writer who had basically created this particular version of the Titans. Right. And I enjoyed it for many of the reasons that Dirt just expanded upon. You know, nostalgia. It was nice to see these characters back together again. I didn't care for their opponents. It's the Tangent Universe, Central City Doom Patrol. I could care less who these people are. But I was happy to see something close to what I remember, what I fondly remember the New Teen Titans to be. I remember my best memories of the New Teen Titans are pre-Nightwing, when he was still Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just awesome, awesome books. I could still pick those up and read them today, and just enjoy them. So this does harken back to a very positive time in my reading of New Teen Titans. So I enjoy the nostalgia of this book, but, you know, just as you said, Dirt, it's a lot of setup. We get to a little bit of a rumble at the end, and we set up what's going to happen in the next issue. You know, how are we going to resolve the differences between these two parties?
Right. And I felt the same way with the Legion of Superheroes book that came out this week. I loved Legion of Superheroes. When I was growing up, I happened to get a random copy when I was in, like, I don't even know, I was at a grocery store, somewhere, and my mom just bought me a comic to shut me up, because I was like 5 or 6, whatever. And so, you know, she bought me a Legion of Superheroes, and that was one of those books that always stuck in my, my collectibles box. And as I got older, I started buying more Legion books. And by the time, 92, 93 came around, and I was working in a comic book store when I was in high school, I had pretty much every Legion of Superheroes book that had come out since the 60s all the way up to the 80s, and then Zero Hour came along and just completely wiped out the timeline.
Mm.
And so at that point, I stopped reading Legion of Superheroes and never went back. So seeing this era of the Legion of Superheroes come back was great, but again, it was a whole bunch of, hey, this sucks, we're in a dome, what are we going to do?
But this is what we've been doing for the last year.
How are we ever going to get back home? Does home even exist out there? Oh, the dome is coming down. We're all getting our powers back, and now someone's attacking. Let's go to the next issue.
Yep.
Which is the exact same setup we've gotten with all these other books.
Yeah. It's been tough.
The one thing I will say about the book, though, is that it does have Superboy in it, and I think it was a good character piece on him. It showed him differently than... One of the things about the Legion of Superheroes in that era was the characters were growing up, and that was one of the things about it. People, they built relationships, they built friendships, they had betrayals. It was almost, your superhero soap opera before New Adventures of Lois and Clark and all the CW stuff. And so it put his character back into that realm. It was good to see the way that they kind of played around with him again, but... I still got to the end of the issue and just kind of felt like, all right, now next issue is probably going to be 3/4 of people fighting and something's going to happen and then the universe gets wiped out, as it goes out of convergence. So
if I want to read Earth 2 Society book that's going to spin out of all this, I guess I'd probably need to read the main convergence issues.
Yeah, and that's really it. And if you have, at any point in DC history, you had a favorite version of Superman or Batman or Flash or Green Lantern or whatever, then you can go and buy the two issues that deal with that character. Believe it or not, I actually talked to people who their favorite version of Justice League was Justice League Detroit.
Oh! I did read that issue this week. I didn't write it down because I didn't want to talk about it.
That one was there. But again, that was a character piece on The Elongated Man and His Wife.
Yeah.
That was really the point of that one.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's actually been the appealing thing for me about Convergence. I mean, I have a cursory kind of knowledge of DC history, and some of this stuff is familiar to me. So it's like reading some of these books, like Justice Society or I guess Teen Titans. Kind of seeing what they do with those are kind of the draw for me if I were to check them out.
Well, the way it was sold to us about being all of these different eras coming together is it was sold with that same idea as Crisis on Infinite Earths. And the neat idea with Crisis was you had these different parallel universes of the characters. So you had Superman from the 40s, and you had Superman from the 80s, and you had, you know, Batman from the 60s, and you had silly Batman who had, you know, the space rocket pill in his, you know, utility belt, and, you know, all that kind of stuff was all coming together, and they all had to, you know, figure out what was going on, and that's what I wanted Convergence to be. I was hoping the main series was 900,000 DC characters from all these different time periods coming together in this one giant battle, and right, that's not rather, what it's been at all.
Yeah. Rather, what you're getting is those battles are spread out across these two-issue miniseries, and you're getting, like you were saying earlier, the continuing exploits of the Earth 2 characters in the main series.
And all of these tie-in books really have nothing to do with that main series. You're not seeing Flash in his series, like, punch somebody and the guy flies through the sky, and then in Convergence, people walking along and being like, who's that dude flying through the sky? You know, and none of that type of stuff is happening.
So it's kind of like what they did with Flashpoint or whatever?
I don't
know. Or the tie-in books? They had the main book, and then the tie-in books just kind of say, hey, this stuff is going on over here.
The tie-in books with Flashpoint just kind of expanded the universe of what was going on, but they didn't really... They give you background on the characters that were in the story, but, you know, even then, you met a lot of new characters, and you were dealing with a lot of different places that you hadn't seen before and people you weren't familiar with. Convergence, the only thing that's really unfamiliar is Telos, the planet. You know, otherwise, you're just seeing these Earth 2 heroes take on the random chump of the week, you know, to wipe them out and move on.
Where's Mogo?
He died.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he died on Earth Day last year, I think. I don't know.
Oh, no!
So that's it for DC.
So that's DC. What else we got here?
Are we in rapid fire now?
Yeah, let's rapid fire it.
Might as well be.
Then we talked about all the major stuff. Hulk 15, you talked about, or you read it, I haven't yet.
I read it. You know what? And it's a surprising candidate for Click of the Week for me this week. I really enjoyed reading this. We're in the penultimate issue of Hulk before Secret Wars, and we get a really great knockdown dragout fight between the continuation of a knockdown dragout fight between Red Hulk, otherwise known as General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, and Doc Green, this particular version of the Hulk. And, you know, there's actually a great quality to the art in this. You know, I have problems sometimes with how rushed Mark Bagley's art can be. This issue is not rushed, or it's a credit to the inker on this book, who is Drew Hennessy, who has a very heavy embellishment on Bagley's pencils, and it gives the art a great finished look. So maybe that really helped my appreciation of the story in the book. But that being said, I felt like, you know, we really are rocketing towards a conclusion in this, and, you know, it's you know, we're finally getting a payoff, and maybe that's why I enjoyed this book more than I have some of the previous issues, where, you know, just to refresh everyone's memory, a mild spoiler, Doc Green was basically depowering all the gamma-powered individuals in the Marvel Universe by injecting them with a so-called cure. So, you know, we don't know how that's going to play out post-Secret Wars, or, you know, if this cure is even effective, because there is still one issue left. But for all intents and purposes, at the end of this issue, there's pretty much only one, spoiler alert, there's pretty much only one gamma-powered hero left in the Marvel Universe. Well, two, because we have to count She-Hulk. He doesn't actually give it to She-Hulk. But... you know, there's really those two left. And, you know, we get to this point where, you know, like I said, it's the penultimate issue. There's only one more issue left. We see how Duggan wraps up his take on the Hulk. And we see where, you know, where we might pick up from when Secret Wars ends and we have new iterations of the Hulk post-Secret Wars. You know, I enjoyed this book. It was a surprisingly effective read for me, but maybe it's because, you know, we're finally getting towards some sort of resolution, and maybe that's why I'm appreciating it more. But it's a definite candidate for Click of the Week for me.
Nice. Trying to think, what else did I read? Avengers World art was nice. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah, you know what? I like that too. I felt the same way about it too.
I don't know if it's just because it was focused on Shang-Chi, who I don't really care about, but
hey, Sism.
But man, the whatever he's going through, his story just didn't make any kind of sense for me.
I felt like his part, and this is probably not even the case, his part was seeming like it was going into whatever that Secret Wars book of his is going to, but that's not necessarily saying that that's the case. It just seemed like it.
It's just like giving him, making him more effective in the battle, you know, in that final battle. You know, we see a mild spoiler alert here. We see multiple Shang-Chis at one point, and this sort of goes to explain that. And that's pretty much the purpose of the story, is to just back and explain what happens.
Yeah, because I'm about to say, that has come up before. They just didn't get to the point where they explained how it
exactly
happened.
And I think this is just to fill in that, to explain that particular happening. It's just the story and the art just was not very conducive to actually telling us what was happening. That was the worst part. And that's, you know, that's the whole point of visual storytelling, right? It's supposed to tell a story. And I think Tim's notes and my notes concur. It was just very hard to read along and understand what was going on.
And that whole bit with Namor and Black Swan was like, actually, you know what? I kind of feel bad about this because I was thinking, as soon as I saw the part with them too, mm-hmm. I was just thinking of Yellow Jacket and Wasp for some reason.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. But outside of that part, I guess, actually, I don't even remember what happened. I remember they talking. I remember
drinking
there was
too much Colt 45.
Oh, what? What do you mean? What is that?
That is a reference.
Oh, that's what it is.
That is a reference. Drinking too much Colt 45. Hitting on women.
Yeah. Oh,
goodness.
Yeah.
But, I took it way back.
So I was like, okay, wait, where was he going with that? No, okay, yeah. But, oh, wow. I totally forgot what I was about to say. yeah, but anyway, that part was what it was with them two going and kind of going at it, and then the inversion happening and whatnot. So I assume that's going to go into something, and then that's when it goes into the Shang-Chi stuff. So, yeah, it was all right.
I was just going to say, this might read better in trade, to be perfectly honest.
I don't know. We've said before, Avengers World has kind of been the one that's been kind of messed around with all the events that's been floating through, so I don't know.
But the thing is, this, you know, this arc of stories, or this group of stories, is meant to fill in that gap, right? So reading it in trade form, I think, will help this story make more sense.
Because it's all the time runs out stuff.
Right.
But it's still, even within that, kind of goes back and forth.
Right.
Well, are we up for clicks?
Here, I got one or two
you
more.
You want to throw out all new X-Men? No. Sure. Amazing X-Men number 19?
Yeah, real quick. Amazing X-Men 19. It, you know, just like I said in my notes, I didn't think there was an issue that was going to top the last one, and this one's not it. But it was weird. Like,
I was
just
pleasantly
like,
surprised by this one. To be perfectly honest, I actually was pleasantly surprised by this book. I know Matt Wang, was tweeting at us today, and he was just telling us to avoid this book. And I disagreed. I think I had a kind of a surprisingly fun couple of chuckles in this book. Right. And it was a much more pleasant experience than some of the previous issues of Amazing X-Men.
Right. But it still kind of carried the tone of the last issue. The only thing is, this one seemed like it was kind of rushed a little bit.
I can sense that. I could see that.
Because the whole thing with Cyclops and that. So the story is they were fighting Sidorak, and there was a ploy to try to get Sidorak to give Cyclops. Did I say Cyclops? I hope I didn't. Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
Colossus. Who's also held the power before, to try to get the power back to Colossus so that he could so they could fight each other, which ended up going to plan, as it was given back to Kane Marco, the original Juggernaut, and he's got a new suit. Mm-hmm. So here we are having another fight with Colossus and Juggernaut, which goes the same way as any of the other fights go.
Mostly,
until,
right.
Mostly, yeah, until Colossus got smart and said, hey, I'm not going to do things the way I used to do. And the story ends up them being even being dispatched. And we finally get a little, I guess we get a little headway on his character because he was all in this, oh, let me be a martyr, and
martyr.
You know, sacrifice myself for the greater good. And then it's like, hold up, this is not one of those times. What am I doing? So I thought that part was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that you mention it because that's really, my notes on this were basically, you know, centered around Colossus, and it was just great to see some cool developments in his character, because I firmly believe that his character has been mismanaged since Whedon, you know, since Astonishing X-Men.
Astonishing, yeah.
You know, his character has been severely mismanaged since then, and you know, they made him part of the, wasn't he part of the Phoenix Five?
Yes.
So, you know, he was, it's just been a real mess of a number of years since Astonishing X-Men for Colossus. So I'm glad that, you know, he's kind of moving forward from that and maturing as a character. So I was glad to see that. And that's really what made this issue a positive one for me. But I'm glad that it's over. I didn't realize that this was the last issue in the run.
Yeah, I didn't either until Wang had said that.
Exactly. And if it is, then great, because I'm not buying this one anymore.
Well, it's ending. Everything's ending anyway, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, but we figured that. Well, we didn't. Yeah, because it didn't say anything about getting the last days or anything, because this was just kind of one of those side books. So I guess it ending now wasn't a big deal. But overall, like I said, it was a pretty decent read with an interesting pace. Which I guess that's if it is the last book. Then that's why it got rushed. Seems like kind of rushed.
You're kind of fitting in, you know, everything that they could into this issue.
Mm-hmm. And outside of that, I guess the only other quick click, well, that I have is Velvet number 10, which continues to be a good book. Velvet Templeton is still on the run, still trying to figure things out. She falls into a trap this issue, which...
It's a trap!
Yep, which presents a turn for the book. In a way, but I'm still enjoying it. So if you like, let's say James Bondish type stuff, not bondage, because that's a whole different thing. And you like Brubaker and Epting, this is a classic book from them. So grab it.
Cool.
Clicks of the week.
Let's do it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still kind of stuck. I've really only mentioned one click of the week candidate. I may just have to stick with it because I had a very uneven set of books to read this week.
Mine is Guardians of the Galaxy number 26.
I can see that.
Need some like music to play once we say our click.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun,
dun. Going the exact same place.
Oh, you want me to do that? All right, here we go. Drum roll, please. Is it drum rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't hear it. Stupid Google effect.
So yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 26. It surprised me because I haven't been the biggest Guardians fan, but I liked how it was very comical, and I liked the like Bendis makes sure to drop little points of like or made a lot of points of how Star-Lord is, you know, immature and. Eventually, you got to start acting like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And the guard, you know, he could do a lot of good being the leader of Spartax. And, oh, yeah, at the end, was that an incursion happening?
No, it looks like a big... Look, I... No. Okay. Because, well, I mean... Because
that's what I thought it was.
Exactly, because I thought that same thing, too, but it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't usually show itself like any of the other incursions
come by.
It seemed like it was just a big sunburst or something going on. I mean, it could very well be, who knows. But it just didn't seem like it, even with how it presents itself. So, right. Well, for me, I'm thinking... I kind of want to go with Star Wars number 4 because of that last page, but that's not a great enough reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to hitch my wagon onto Tim's with Guardians because that was actually a really fun book to read. I was chuckling the majority of the time reading it.
Interesting. I'm going to stick with my guns, and really the only book that I basically, you know, read through and just, you know, kept reading through with intent, you know, with some enjoyment was Hulk number 15. So I'm going to stick with that. Jerry Duggan is, you know, finishing up the story on a strong note, I hope, knock on wood. So, you know, we have this is the penultimate issue. We have one more left. We'll see how he wraps this up. But it looks to be ending on a strong note. So this is my click of the week, Hulk number 15.
All right. My click is going to be a book we haven't actually talked about, and that is Roman Ritual number 4. I gave number 3 click of the week back when it came out, and 4 is actually the end of the series, and it ends on a high note, or low note, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it. This is just such a well-done, well-constructed story. Basically, just your quick thumbnail of the series is the Pope is possessed by a demon. And there's an exorcist called forward by the church to come be a part of it, but he has been pushed out of the inner circle of Rome because he found some scandals happening within the church, and he leaked them to the public. And so they look down on him. But of course, it's because of the scandals that allowed for this evil to get into the church. And so he's the one that has to redeem them and to come forward and do this exorcism to get rid of the demons and the evil spirits. And the thing is, the thing that really impressed upon me is that this book treats the idea of exorcism and everything that surrounds it the same way that the movie The Exorcist does, where it's not just a horror movie thing. This is like an actual real life and death, soul, eternity, God and the devil struggle happening in the real world. That's that same feeling you get from watching The Exorcist is the same thing that's happening in this book, where it treats it, you know, 100% legitimate, this happens, and this is the story of what's happening here. And it's very dark, and it's very evil, but at the same time, it's that darkness and that willingness to confront it and see it for what it is that also gives you that hope. It gives you that, you know, that if this exists, then the opposite also has to exist, and the opposite eventually, you know, overtakes the first. And so just like The Exorcist, how it ends, you know, they're successful at the end, but it costs you know, Damien Karras's life. It's that same type of feeling that when you get done with this, where they've won, but boy, has it been a battle, and it's been a struggle, and the people involved are just wiped from everything that's happened. So I really enjoyed this book. I'm not Catholic. You know, I've stepped foot in Catholic church like twice, and both of them were weddings. So I'm nowhere near probably the people that this may be directed towards, but it's just a well-constructed, well-done story. This is going to be the perfect trade paperback for Halloween when that comes out. This is going to be the one that you're going to want to go for in that time and place. So Roman Ritual 4, that's my click of the week.
Wow. Cool.
And there we go. All right, take us home, Tim.
Here we go.
All righty. Yes, people have things to do.
Wait, hang on, real quick. Because there's some breaking news that happened in the midst of this program, and I don't think I want to bring it up next week. Tyler Perry joins Teenage Mutant Ninja 2 as Baxter Stockman, looks like. So, yay. and then there's a Telltale Marvel game coming in 2017, which that one may... there'll be probably more on that next week. Now go ahead and bring it home, Tim.
Hey, Tyler Perry was in Star Trek, so
yes,
that
that's
right. Watch Turtles too.
He was the headmaster or something like that, right? Or
I remember.
That's fun.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's Comic Book Chronicles. Make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. Follow Dirt at PCN_Dirt on Twitter, and go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. Check out his Vine reviews.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those, actually.
Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need.
Yes, indeed.
And Agent 70 is at Agent_70.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week to discuss C2E2 and whatever else ends up breaking during the week. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey! What's on your